It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. You could be in California. You could be a fan of the Rams. You could be in Minneapolis or St. Paul. You could be a fan of the Vikings. You could be here in Atlanta with me. You could be in New York with super producer and host Ryan Hickey, home of the New York Liberty and the Yankees. You could be in Florida. I don't know where you're at, but thank you for listening. The show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always listen live on the free Odyssey app. You can listen on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. You can listen on Sirius XM channel 158. You can listen on a smart speaker. Ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. What a day, what a day, what a day. Yeah, we're getting ready for Thursday Night Football. Minnesota, Los Angeles Rams, the return of Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. You can only play football with those names, right? You got to run people over and catch the ball. Let's see what these two wide receivers returning from ankle and knee injuries can do. Be talking some World Series. Scott Miller is going to join us from the New York Times. Talk about some baseball. What's Judge going to do? What's Otani going to do? Who's feeling more pressure, right? Otani's the best player on planet Earth. Judge plays for the Yankees, but then he stinks in the postseason. There's so much to get into, so much to talk about. We got into DeAndre Hopkins already. He spoke to the media today and said, hey, it's finally good to play some football that matters. Jameson Williams suspended from the Detroit Lions 2 games because of a drug suspension. He's like, man, I don't know what I took. I don't know what's going on. We talked about the New York Liberties parade. None of their players were drunk. Good for them. And we have so much more to do. Victor Wembanyama is going to be making his season debut against the Dallas Mavericks. That's always fun watching that 7'5" giant go out there and play. And so we'll get more into the football and the baseball and the basketball and it all. We got you covered here. If you want to be a part of the show, it's simple. The phone number here is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You can find me online. I'm at JR Sport Brief. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Do it. 1 hour down. Now it's time to have some more fun. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We got Daryl. He's calling from Chicago. You're on the JR Sport Brief. Show us up, Daryl.
Hey, what's up, JR? I heard you guys talking about the best American-born NBA Caucasian player, and I'm wondering if you figured it out yet, because I got one for you.
Okay.
But who are you thinking, JR?
Nobody, man. I've been thinking about this for a minute. Go ahead.
Okay, here we go.
Who is
Tyler Hero? Although I'm from Wisconsin, I'm living in Chicago.
Right.
Tyler Hero from Wisconsin.
Yeah, Marquette.
What you think? Tyler Hero, who's better than him?
Is he the best?
White man can't jump.
Is he the best? Damn. I thought that there'd be somebody better. He's the best?
I'm thinking. I want
Damn.
You to up me one, but right now that's all I can think of.
That was
without a search.
Yeah, let's do this, the process of elimination. We obviously have to think about the best teams, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Boston Celtics are the best team. Their best white player is from Latvia, okay? Doesn't count. Who's in New York Knicks? They don't have one. let's see. The 76ers, they're guys from Cameroon. They don't have a great white player. Yeah, I guess the Miami Heat. Yeah, you're right. Best teams in the West. Wait.
There's one on the Lakers.
Connect? Reeves? No.
I had to Google search to come up with that one.
Oklahoma City.
Thunder. Okay, good one.
Gonzaga. You know what I'm talking about?
I know he's in the commercial with the all leather outfit with the other brother, but yeah, I don't know his name.
What are you talking? What commercials are you watching? People in
it
leather
was like
outfits.
AT&T, some cell phone commercial from last NBA playoffs.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm talking about Chet Holmgren.
Okay.
He's better than Tyler Hero. He might be the best American-born white player in the league right now. It's probably him.
Okay, a Google search came up with Devin Booker, but I'm pretty sure he's a little bit black, right?
A little bit? Yeah, I think he's I think he's a little bit of both. Yes, Darryl. Well, thank you, man.
Hi, Darryl. Appreciate it, man. I'm going to listen off air. Thanks for taking the call, brother.
No doubt. Thank you, Darryl, for calling from Chicago. Hickey, Chet Holmgren, consensus. Is it Chet?
Oh, I forgot about Chet.
Yeah, 7'4". Is he 7'2"? He can shoot threes. He can block. This is going to be, what, his second year? He was hurt that first
right.
year.
Right.
Because his feet are too big. Same problem that I hope Wembanyama never has this problem, man. It seems like it's almost bound to happen, but I hope it never happens. It has to be. Chet Holmgren has to be the best white player, American white player in the league. Has to be.
In terms of active player and accomplishments, I was thinking Brook Lopez. Although he's not at the top of his game now.
Is Brook Lopez white? He's not Latino?
Is he?
Yeah, Lopez.
I guess you're right. Lopez. Wow, this is a lot more difficult than I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it has to be Chet.
Yeah.
Especially with the potential and what he's done so far last year, especially.
One season? Look what he did. It's 17 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks, 80% from the free throw line, 37% from 3. This guy is still only 22 years old. And he is... He's going to get bigger. He's going to put on some weight. He's going to be an amazing player to watch. And the Thunder, they play tonight as well. Who they play to start this season up? I think Sacramento. Yeah, they play the Kings tonight. It should be fun. 855-212-4227. Oh, Denver. My apologies, Denver. 855-212-4227. Ben, he's calling from Montana. You're on the JR Sportry Show. What's up, Ben?
Hey, JR, longtime listener, man. Thought that was awesome how you kicked the racist guy off the show. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I had a couple of questions for you.
Yes.
So I got Aaron Jones tonight playing against a pretty bad Rams defense and a Javonte Williams this weekend. I got to pick between the two of them playing against the terrible Carolina Panthers.
Yeah. So what are you asking me? What are you asking me for fantasy advice?
Yeah. I think you said it was cool.
But it's cool. You can ask me anything. I don't mean I have to give you an answer. Hey, let me ask you this, Ben. Are you going to win money as a result of this?
That's a hope.
What, because of this, or you got to wait until the end of the season to pocket some money?
No, I got to wait until the end of the season, but, okay. You know, trying to get the win.
Now, who the Broncos are playing who?
The Broncos are playing the Carolina Panthers.
The Broncos are playing the Carolina Panthers. Oh, my God. You know, that might be a safer bet than tonight, because the Minnesota Vikings, we know, yeah, Aaron Jones is a dual threat as a wide receiver, but, oh, man, that's tough. You know, Aaron Jones could go a game where he doesn't do anything because they're just throwing the ball out here, you know, to Justin Jefferson. So I think I would take Javonte as opposed to Aaron.
Okay, because he sure did ball out on my bench last week, and I think I'm inclined to agree with you on that.
Yeah, this is a safer bet. Go ahead.
The next question I had, who's going to win in a grudge match between Robert Saleh and Dan Campbell? Because they're those dudes are stacked.
Yeah, I think Dan Campbell would win. I think Dan Campbell. He's crazy. You heard his opening press conference, biting ankles and all this. What did he say? Biting ankles and snapping kneecaps and we're going to get up and gouge your eye. Like, this was the guy's introductory press conference, okay?
Yeah, and to come into an organization like that that had just suffered for so long and turn it around would just require some grit.
Well, that's his key word. He got grit tatted all over the building. He has grit painted all over the building. He's chewing screws and nails for breakfast. So, yeah, I'm going with Dan Campbell in the street fight over Saleh.
Okay. Thanks for your time.
No problem, Ben, and good luck with your league, man. Appreciate you. Yeah, Rob Saleh, by the way, he was working out with the Packers. Coach LaFleur was the best man in his wedding, and you can't sit around New Jersey with your 8 kids all day, so he went to Green Bay, Wisconsin. I mean, pick your poison. You want to be in Green Bay, Wisconsin with the Green Bay Packers, or do you want to sit at home with your wife and your 8 kids? I think we have the answer there. 855-212 and still get paid? New York Jets are still paying this man, okay, to hang out in Green Bay. Sign me up. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You know what you can sign me up for? And he's looking for fantasy advice and asking for this, asking for that. Vikings are taking on the Rams. Vikings are now 5-1, lost to the Lions. Now they're second in the NFC North. Vikings, I don't want to say they're coming back down to earth, but the Lions, we know they're the best team. I know Sam Darnold has been able to light it up all of a sudden now. Yeah, in place of J.J. McCarthy, and let's be real, Sam was always going to get the chance. He was always going to get the ball first. I don't want to call this a Russell Wilson, Justin Fields situation, but Sam Darnold was going to get the opportunity. And so this year, 12 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. He has a passer rating of 104. This is not the same Sam Darnold that we saw with the New York Jets. The Minnesota Vikings are going to go into the postseason, and when they get there, they just have to hope that Sam Darnold isn't throwing a football to the wrong damn team. I got the Minnesota Vikings winning tonight. I do. Now, don't be shocked if the Rams, with a returning Puka Nacua and then also Cooper Kupp, who's basically auditioning to leave town, don't be surprised if they put up some points as well. Because the Vikings, for as great as they are up front, their pass defense stinks. Minnesota Vikings pass defense is ranked 30th in the NFL. They're giving up 260 passing yards a game. And so old man Matthew Stafford, he might find some holes even with two players that are returning from injury. I'm still picking the Vikings. The Rams suck. Come on now. They would trade Matthew Stafford if they could. But who's taking a 36-year-old quarterback with his salary? Who's bringing him on in the middle of the season? The answer is nobody. Nobody. And Sam Darnold, all of a sudden, he might win comeback player of the year. They got to figure out another name for it because he ain't coming back from nothing. He's always been ass. Now he's playing well. But Sam Darnold, he said the Rams, he says, yeah, they're going to be tough to play against. Never mind. Listen.
Challenging week for us. Obviously a great LA team. Sam just told me too, I'm excited to go home for the first time with fans in attendance. I went back in 2020. Just excited to play these guys. Another really great opportunity for us to go and play a really good defense, a really good team.
Yeah, Sam Darnold, you remember Sam. He played at USC, threw turnovers over there too. Not afraid of turning the ball over. That's Sam Darnold. Now he's back in Southern California, SoFi Stadium. Hollywood, right? Going to be a lot of fans in attendance, a lot of Rams fans, because all those fans in Southern California, they love football. They do. Justin Jefferson is just happy to be on TV. Amazon Prime.
We felt like we should have been, put on that platform, but we're going to have to wake some people up. You know, we're going to have to be that team that no one is counting on to be good and expecting to come out and be the team that we are today.
You know what we also have to take into account for tonight's Thursday Night Football matchup? Kevin O'Connell was the offensive coordinator for these Rams. He got this job because of the work that he did with Sean McVay. And so now he's the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. And because Kevin O'Connell and Sean McVay, because they're friends, he's about to tell one of the biggest lies that you will ever hear this football season. Listen to this man and what he has to say about the Rams.
It can be a challenge to play against those guys, and I'm sure they'll be ready to go. And being well coached is one thing, but I think their players definitely, led by Matthew, Cooper, Rob Havenstein, they've got some guys that have been through a lot of plays together, and they'll be ready to go.
Yeah. This is not good. Come on now. They're 2-4. They ain't got no talent. They've lost talent since they won the Super Bowl. Aaron Donald is gone. Von Miller is old, suspended, and gone. Jalen Ramsey, gone. Odell Beckham, hurt, gone. The guys are gone. Matthew Stafford is still there, 36 years old. I told you Cooper Kupp is coming back from that ankle. Puka Nacua is coming back from that sprained knee. Matthew Stafford said, I'm happy that Cooper's back. He better be happy he's here for now.
I'm excited for him. He loves football. He's missing being out there. So I'm excited for him. Excited for our offense, our team. He's a great player.
Yeah, he's a great player. This might be the last game that he plays together with him. Come on now. Cooper Kupp knows he's about to get traded. I don't know how many snaps he's going to run, but I don't think they're going to run this guy into the ground. They better hope that he has one good highlight play and the team says, okay, we'll trade for him tomorrow. Oh, yeah, you paid for him another week. Now we'll trade for him. Less money. That's really what it boils down to. It's a matter of economics. You pay another game salary and we'll trade for him after. What's the rush? Let's listen to Cooper Kupp tell a lie. Cooper Kupp says the defense of the Vikings is good. It is up front, but not them defensive backs.
They play hard. Guys fly around. They've even been able to adapt some of the injuries, some of the things that have come about, and found some creative ways to continue to get pressure on offenses and obviously create a great challenge. So I'm excited about being able to go through this short week and find ways to attack it. And it's obviously going to be a great challenge, though.
Man, come on. I got the Vikings winning this one. Minnesota Vikings are going to go 6-1. The Rams are going to fall to 2-5. And the only way that this happens, the only way the Vikings lose this game is if Sam Darnold loses the game. That's it. I don't see it. Is Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, are they enough to kind of light things up? I don't think so. It'll look nice. It'll be a close game. We'll see some deep passes. It's going to be a ball in the air type game, just flinging it all over the field. I got the Vikings winning this one. Hickey, what are your thoughts on the Vikings and the Rams tonight?
I am with you. I do like Minnesota in this game. I know they're coming off a loss, but I thought for the most part they played well against what is arguably the best team in the NFL right now, in the Lions. Offensively, Sam Darnold, I am at the point where I do trust him. I don't know how LA is going to really slow down this offense. And then even, with the secondary concerns for Minnesota, Cooper Kupp, like, how healthy is he actually going to be? How much is he going to play? Puka Nacua, same thing. I mean, he's activated off IR today. How much either, or I guess both, will play, I still have a huge question mark about. Offensive line's a little in flux as well. That defense at least gets after the quarterback, which is not good for Matthew Stafford. I'm with you. I like Minnesota here. About a touchdown or so. I think that feels fair.
Yeah, Minnesota on the road, folks. Put some money on it. Just don't blame us after if you lose, okay? Don't ask us for money. Don't do it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, we got the Minnesota Vikings over the Rams tonight. We got them winning. Now, are they going to win a championship? I don't think so. When we come back, we'll talk about the World Series. Let's do that on the other side of the break. We got Game 1 of the World Series. It goes down tomorrow in Los Angeles. Everything is in L.A., right? Everything. Yankees, Dodgers, and Lakers. We got USC football tomorrow. Everything is going on in L.A. We'll talk about the Dodgers and the Yankees on the other side of the break. Shohei Ohtani versus Aaron Judge. They should put them in a wrestling ring at center field before the game actually starts. And sell more tickets that way. We'll get into the World Series. Don't worry. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're getting ready for Thursday Night Football. Yeah, we got less than an hour to go, right? Minnesota Vikings are out in Los Angeles to take on the Rams. Minnesota Vikings on their way to the postseason. And meanwhile, the Rams, well, they're probably on their way to trading Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua expected to play tonight for the Los Angeles Rams. They have been MIA, out of action. Puka Nacua hurt himself in the first game of the season, sprained a PCL in his knee. And Cooper Kupp, this man hasn't played due to a busted up ankle. What else is new? Every year he's busting up his ankle. He's busting up his hamstring. He's ripping this. He's tearing that. Same high ankle that he always has an issue with. Cooper Kupp has only been able to play two games this season. So Matthew Stafford is going to have somebody to throw the ball to, a wide receiver not named Tutu Atwell. Okay, so we'll see what happens tonight. Both Hickey and I got the Minnesota Vikings going out there and winning this game. Winning a championship? Not so sure about that one, but still picking them to win this game. Speaking of championships, the World Series, it gets underway tomorrow. We got Gerrit Cole on the mound for the New York Yankees. We got Jack Flaherty on the mound for the Los Angeles Dodgers. This is going to be the 12th time that these two teams have met in the postseason. And yes, that's a whole lot of times for two teams that have been around for a very, very long time. No two teams have met in the postseason 12 times. The Yankees and Dodgers, they got the record and they got us beat there. And so it's not just the teams. It's not just the cities. It's not just the names. The payrolls are astronomical. The stars are astronomical. We actually have a World Series featuring two men who are likely going to win MVP. Damn it, they will. Shohei Ohtani is going to win MVP in the National League. Aaron Judge is going to win a MVP in the American League. And it's going to be fun. It really is. Aaron Judge, he didn't waste no time. Aaron Judge said, Shohei Ohtani, best player in the game.
Hits for average, hits for power, the speed. You know, doing what he did this year with the 50 stolen bases, that's it got talked about a lot, but I don't think it got talked about enough. It's just he's an impressive athlete, you know, the best player in the game, and you know, what an ambassador for this sport.
Yeah, this is going to be tough. We got Scott Miller joining us from the New York Times. He'll be here next hour to really break down, you know, this World Series matchup. Yeah, I didn't think the Dodgers would make it this far. They've had so many injuries to their starting rotation. Walker Buehler all of a sudden can go out there and pitch. The Dodgers are pulling guys out of the bullpen. Pull this guy here, pull this guy here. Here, you pitch an inning. And just a batter could get four different looks throughout the course of a game and just be flummoxed. I don't know if it's going to work against the Yankees. Both teams have a lot of offense. I don't know. This might be one of those seven-game nail biters. This is going to be a crazy one. Somebody who will be biting his nails is Brian Cashman. This man has been a part of the Yankees organization for almost 30 years. He's been the GM for the team. Well, damn it. Wow. He's been a GM for longer than that now. Damn it. He's almost been in the organization 40 years. He's almost been the GM for 30. People are sick of him in New York. They always want to fire him. And people look at the New York Yankees and their drought, not winning a World Series since 2009. They point at Brian Cashman and they say, look at all the players that you brought in. Look at all the money that gets spent. Anybody could spend the Steinbrenner's money and you don't have a title to show for it. Well, Brian Cashman was on MLB Network and he didn't take too kindly to hearing about a drought, because he feels the New York Yankees got cheated by a certain team in Texas. Listen to this.
It means a lot. And I hate the 15-year thing because it doesn't, it completely forgets and discounts that that some other organization cheated us when we were all the way in the end. You know, if you knew what was going on, I don't think they would be advancing at that during that time thing. I think we would have been advancing. So I hate that 15-year thing because I don't think it accurately reflects history.
Ooh, shots fired at the Houston Astros. He's talking about 2017, when Major League Baseball found that they were banging on things and making noise, signaling the pitching. And yeah, they were cheating. Major League Baseball said they were cheating from 2017 to 2018. Is it necessary for Brian Cashman to bring that up, though? He's brought it up in the past. You got to bring it up again. Like, talking about the Astros isn't going to change anything. And you didn't win the World Series. So it really doesn't matter if you got cheated out of it or not. You didn't win. You know, we don't live in an alternate universe. I think it's time to let sleeping dogs lie. Leave the Astros alone. God bless the New York Yankees. They didn't have to face off against the Astros this year because knowing the Astros, they would have beat the Yankees. Leave it alone. The drought is the drought. There's no magic wand to take us back in time to see what would have happened in Game 7 if all of a sudden there were no cheating. Just leave it alone. It's not going to bolster or boost your resume by saying, yeah, well, we got cheated in 2017. Or the team that we took on in the ALCS, they were cheating. Leave it alone. Hickey, am I alone? Like, why is Brian Cashman bringing this up?
That's such a loser comment. It's so long ago. And look, not to trying to defend the Astros at all, but they did go to the World Series in 2019 after they were, you know, outed for cheating, won it in 2022. So let's not pretend like the only reason why they won was because they were cheating. They had a lot of talent on that team. They probably didn't need to cheat to win. And like you said, it the ifs and buts, you know, were Canyon nuts, then we'd all be happy. If the Astros didn't cheat, maybe the Yankees are in the World Series and it's a different discussion. But it's not what happened. We live in the real world.
Didn't happen, Brian. Leave it alone. The New York Yankees need to be just focused on the Yankees, not Brian Cashman bringing this up. Brian Cashman shouldn't even be a thought in anybody's head right now. But he is. Get over it. I mean, what is he going to do? Is he going to go to Houston? Does he want to, like, kick, I don't know, Hinch and Cora and go to every city and kick these guys in the shins? These guys got jobs. Everybody has moved on. Hickey, where's Beltran? What's Carlos Beltran doing right now?
He's a part of the Mets.
He's in the front office, right?
Yeah, he has a role. He was out there for some of the celebrations the Mets had in Milwaukee and at Citi Field.
I thought he wanted to be a manager.
For a hot second, he was a manager.
And what happened? Refresh my brain.
The Mets fired him.
Whoa. Help me out here. How long was he the manager?
2 weeks, somewhere in that time frame. They hired him, and then that's when the story came out about the Astros cheating.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, then it was reported that he was the ringleader of the scheme.
Oh, my
God.
And
they said, well, we can't do this.
Oh, man. I thought the Mets only hired, like, guys in the... And never mind.
Yeah. Well, they hire, some bad guys as well.
It was a GM that was taking the photos and sending them to people, okay?
Yep, and a manager that was hitting on folks. Another GM that was drunk driving. Yeah.
Oh, Mickey
Callaway was creepy.
Okay. Yeah. Do you think Carlos Beltran will get another chance in the dugout?
I hope so. I'm just, at this point, with how long he's been removed, I just wonder if that ship has sailed now. Because you do see it all coaches, right? Like, once kind of you're out, you're out. And I wonder now if it's too late for him to get back into the managerial game.
I forgot that he was the manager. Wow.
That's right. That was 2020, 19, somewhere in that frame.
Wow.
Hello, goodbye.
Yeah, and at one point, I remember this. At one point, he was a Yankees announcer. That was terrible.
He was not good at that.
He was awful. he was not good.
Not for everybody at the broadcast booth.
Yeah, great baseball. Carlos Beltran was a great baseball player. I always enjoyed watching him. Calling the game, don't do that. Hey, good for him being a part of the Mets. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, you know, there's so much going on in L.A. Got the World Series starting tomorrow. The other day we saw Bronny and Braun. And is that right, Hickey? Bronny and Braun? Is that correct?
I like that. I've not heard it that, phrased that way, but I think Bronny that could stick.
Well, that's what he calls his dad, right? He calls him Braun.
I also like how you put Bronny first, then Braun.
Bronny. Braun and Braun.
An afterthought. Braun's an afterthought.
Braun and Bronny just sounds too...
Anyway, like Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah, LeBron and LeBron. How about that? Also accurate. LeBron and LeBron Jr. Hickey, like, all the sons we talked about yesterday, it seemed like everybody was a junior except for the Mannings.
You're right. Archie said, we're not going to have an Archie Jr. Good for him.
We got an Arch now. An Arch now.
We do.
Maybe be lighting it up at Texas, but they said, no, we're going to put Quinn Ewers back on out there. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go back to Los Angeles because the Clippers, they debuted a fabulous new arena, the Intuit Dome. And then speaking of Los Angeles, the guy who hits all the home runs, the 50-50 guy, his home run ball, it went for a pretty penny. This is why I said I would want a percentage of it. I'll fill you in on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Getting ready for some Thursday night football, the top of the hour. Minnesota Vikings in Los Angeles against those Rams. Things are crazy in L.A. The sports scene is crazy in Los Angeles. The streets, the highways, the road, everything is going to be packed in L.A. tomorrow. USC is playing. The Lakers are playing. Everybody's playing concerts, college. SoFi has a high school game. USC is everybody's playing. LA is the center of the universe tomorrow. Hickey, it's not too late. Well, let's fly out there and do the show from LA.
I think we would not make it in time. The traffic would be too bad.
Oh, traffic. Okay.
I mean, that's 3 o'clock local. That's, I mean, peak rush hour for tomorrow.
No.
3? No?
What time is it?
Well, our show, right, starts out there at 3.
We can get a flight after the show. You leave New York, I leave Atlanta.
And we'll just sleep in the studio?
When?
When we land.
When we land? Yeah, we just sleep. You sleep on a plane. It's an overnight.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. Yeah, can't do that.
You just leave? You said you can't?
I can't. I'm a diva. I can't sleep on a plane for 6 hours.
It's 5 hours.
Well, so maybe 5 for you, 6 for me.
Yeah, it's shorter.
Further north here.
It's shorter. Not 6 hours to go that way, no.
Yeah. Oh, into the crosswind? Oh, yeah.
When you come back, it's 5.
Yes. Yes.
It's 4 hours from here, man. 4 hours.
Short flight.
Yeah, fly to Atlanta first. Attack on another 90 minutes while you're at it.
Deal. Why the hell not? Sleep on there for 90 minutes, sleep on a 5-hour flight, wake up refreshed, ready to go, and we'll talk LA sports in LA.
Easy. Done.
Boom.
Piece of cake.
How about we just go to Dodger Stadium? Screw it.
Yeah, let's do the show live from there. Don't let me see Ohtani.
What are you going to say to him?
Nothing. What's he going to say to me?
Nothing.
What are we going to say besides hello, hello?
Well, you said don't. I wasn't sure if you're going to ask about Ipe or throw any accusations his way or
give me some money.
give me your credit card number, right? You give it out to everybody.
Shohei Ohtani understands that, right? If I went up to Shohei Ohtani and I said, "Hey, give me some money," what would he say?
He goes, "No."
He said, "No," right?
He knows that one.
He said, "Give me some money." Those are probably some of the dumbest things you can ask him right now. One. Or as, hey, give me some money, and where's Ipe? I don't know. He seems too dignified to curse you out or punch you in the face, but I think one of the two of those would be likely. But speaking of money, that home run ball, and a couple of people done sued over it, but it went to auction. Shohei Ohtani's home run ball, it has been sold. I want you to listen to this from my good friends at KTLA. They tell you about that Shohei Ohtani 50 home run ball. Listen to this.
Sold. Shohei Ohtani's 50-50 home run ball sold at auction for, get this, if you haven't heard, $4.39 million. That shatters the record paid for a baseball or any sports ball for that matter. The previous most expensive baseball was Mark McGwire's 70th home run ball from the 1998 Major League Baseball season, which went for $3 million. Ohtani made history on September 19th by becoming the first player in baseball history to hit 50 home runs and steal 50 bases in a single season. A legal battle over who actually owns this ball remains unresolved, but a judge allowed the sale to go ahead and proceed. $4.39 million. I wonder who bought it.
Is somebody with $4 million to spare? What the hell? Hickey, what do you do with that? You just put it in your living room? You put it in a case and put it in your living room? You want to flip it and sell it for $8 million in a couple of years? Like, what are you doing? What are you doing with that?
Definitely having it sit there, right, for a long time. I'm with you. Outside of that, like, I mean, I don't know how this stuff works, so maybe I'm just an idiot here. Does the value increase, like, the longer you hold on to it?
I would think if somebody wants it, right?
But, like, what if someone else, what if he has a 50-50 season next year?
And I would think the ball would decrease in value, but it would still have value because it's the first.
Right. Sure, but if you buy it for four, I mean, how much can you actually sell? Like, if it happens again, sure, it's the first still, but, like, are you selling it for five, six?
I don't know how much you can sell it for. Yeah, I don't know. If you have one, you hope he doesn't do it again, right?
I'm sure he's rooting against Shohei now.
Let's also think about this. Next year, I don't know if he's going to start the season pitching, but you would think he'd get, what, 10 to 15 starts next year to kind of get warmed up and ready?
True.
What are the odds that he has another 50-50 season?
I mean, definitely slim, right? And just right. In general, considering the odds and how tough that is, period. And in the pitching, you're probably right. It's probably not likely it happens again.
And didn't somebody at one point in time, somebody bought Did somebody buy a baseball and shoot it to outer space? Was that like Elon Musk or something like that?
What?
No, you never heard about that?
No. From Earth, shot it into space? Why? For what?
Vote to send Barry Bonds' ball into space. Oh, Mark Echo, fashion designer Mark Echo. He bought Barry Bonds' record-breaking home run, has decided to let the public vote on its fate. I don't. I guess it wasn't shot into space or blown
756?
Out. I don't know which one. I don't know if this is from the year or the home run, the total.
That's how you know you're rich, by the way. Let me buy this ball, and then, yeah, if people want to say send it out of space, I'm going to do it. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was 756.
Wow.
He purchased the ball from the fan who caught it before personally branding it with an asterisk and sending it to Cooperstown. Oh, so it exists.
Huh.
It's not space junk. It actually exists.
Imagine hating someone that much where you spend millions of dollars to tarnish a record.
Is it hating somebody that much, or is it just being rich and letting you know, you're rich, you do what you are, right?
Yeah. I mean, a little bit of both, right? I mean,
I guess Mark Echo still has clothes. Do people still wear Echo? Do they still sell it?
I don't think so.
I have not seen Mark Echo clothing in 20 years.
Same.
Oh. I'm sure he got some bread off of it. And good for him. I told you, a lot of things going on in L.A. Maybe Kawhi Leonard bought the ball, you know? He ain't got nothing better to do. He can't play basketball. All he does is sit around and rehab. And all these great things going on in L.A., the Clippers debuted their new $2 billion stadium. They call it a dome, but it's a basketball stadium. It's a 20,000-seater. The Intuit Dome. It's out in Inglewood. And this place is unique because Steve Ballmer, the crazy man owner, multi-billionaire from Microsoft, owns the team. We know he owns the Clippers. He's a wild dude. And so one of the features of this new arena, Intuit Dome, is a wall. 51 uninterrupted rows. There's not a concourse. It's steep. He wanted to model it after soccer/football, you know, the wall behind the goal. And he just wants Clipper fans there. Like, you have to wear Clippers gear and you have to be, you know, sure you're a fan. They have all these hoops. You can't resell the tickets. There's a lot of different ways to ensure that you're a Clippers fan. And so this was the first time we had the wall last night. The Clippers, they lost to the Suns in overtime, 116 to 113. You could thank Kevin Durant. But Kevin Durant actually missed. This is a 90% free throw shooter. It's one of the best shooters the league has ever seen. This man missed two free throws. And Kevin Durant actually said, looking at the wall, that having it there was pretty awesome.
Incredible. Loved it. I absolutely loved the wall that they got.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's insane. I know in the playoffs and once people get more and more comfortable with the arena, it's going to be insane here. So I always love when new venues go up in our league. It's always cool. It always sets the standard for what may come down the line, you know. So Steve is doing a great job with this franchise. Yeah, it was crazy. I was just staring at it the whole time. You know, you're not used to that. I think I experienced that. Oklahoma State has somewhat of an arena like that. Obviously not that big, but the seats went straight up, and I always thought that was cool. The noise sounds a little different from that vantage point, so it's going to be a tough road environment for whoever comes in here.
It's fun. Good. I just feel bad that the Clipper fans, they got to watch crap, garbage basketball in that place because Kawhi Leonard is out indefinitely. You got James Harden now running the show. I mean, he led the way last night for them with 29 points. But it's just bad. Hickey, you feeling the wall? I think the novelty of it is, I've seen it once and I'm like, all right, whatever.
I love the idea. I love Steve Ballmer's enthusiasm. My only, I guess, concern moving forward is just like partly what you said of just how bad the team is, but also like, I just don't think there'd be enough people there to make it worth its while. Now, when they're good and maybe 2 or 3 years from now, they're rejuvenated and this team is young and exciting. But at least right now with the debut of it this season, it's just hard to imagine that's actually going to stay just because if you're getting your brain beat in by 30 every night, it's going to take a lot out of the fans.
Yeah, This is the fan. I mean, it's tough getting around in L.A. The fans weren't there early. They were certainly there late, and the players talked about it having an effect on them. Take a listen to this, Devin Booker, about the wall.
I missed the free throw, man. I was pissed. So I think K missed two down there, too, so it might work.
It was pretty impressive.
Hell yeah, spend $2 billion. Put a wall up.
Nerd made some clutch free throws.
He did make some clutch free throws, so they didn't completely do their job, but we heard them.
Yeah, the stadium, the arena cost $2 billion. Steve Ballmer had that. Hickey, what did he just found that in the side of his car door, right?
I think so, yeah. Casual, cool.
Yeah, Steve Ballmer's net worth is a cool, I'm going to predict, $150 billion. Let me see if I'm right. Let's see, Steve Ballmer net worth. Oh, he's poor. I was wrong. Only $124 billion. I look for change in my couch. This guy has $124 billion of assets. I need to find my own Microsoft. I'm going to start right now. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to talk more World Series, more NFL, and more basketball on the other side. Don't you move.